The people will not be doing much of anything, and the church will fold up and die. So this verse is used and seen as being in favor of a vision statement. But I was looking into the verse, wondering if that's actually what this verse is talking about, and I don't think it is. Now, it is great to have a vision statement, but that is not what this verse is addressing. One of the key words in the verse is vision. Other translations translate it as revelation, divine guidance, prophetic vision. It is a word referring to God's revealed word, a word from the Lord, a vision or dream like the prophets received, direction and guidance from the Lord. So for us today, this would mean the Bible. That is God's revelation to us. I do not go along with what many in the pop culture, Christian pop culture, are proclaiming these days, that they have a prophetic voice from the Lord, that they have this direct, audible hearing from God and passing it on. I think God has done that, and it's here, and this is where we go. I don't need you coming and telling me this is what God told me to tell you to go and do. Here it is. Now we ask the Lord for wisdom. So this is God's revelation to us. So this verse is not about God's, it is about God's revelation, not about some hoped for way of living, the vision of your company or your organization or individual goals. The verse is saying, where there is no revelation from God, people morally run wild doing whatever they want. But those who follow God's revelation, they are joyfully blessed. And we can see this in the life of Israel. They experienced this over and over and over again. They would worship idols and live in other awful, sinful ways. Then God would speak to them through a prophet. God's revelation would come to them. And if they followed him, things would get better. But then they would drift away from him again into idol worship. And then God's revelation would come again. And then there was that kind of a cycle going on. People need God's revelation to correct them. We need revelation to guide us, because we are not good on our own. We need God's revelation, the Holy Bible, to guide us, to tell us who He is. That's what we need. So this verse, where God's word is absent or ignored, people go wild with sin. But those who follow God's word, they are joyful and they are blessed. So even though Proverbs 29 verse 18 does not prescribe a vision statement, it is valuable in evaluating a vision statement, specifically in the sense of, is it based on God's revelation? Has the church's reason for existing come from the Bible? And I am very grateful to God that our vision statement is based on God's word. We formed our vision statement from God's revelation, the Bible, back in April of 2011. On a Saturday morning, it started here. Fantastic. And here it is. I think it's on the screen. And it's not on my forehead. That's great that the lines are up, eh? Here it is. We exist to joyfully worship God with our whole lives. We exist to grow genuine, loving relationships with each other based on God's word. We exist to be active, loving participants in both the local and global community who spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Worship, community outreach. Do all for the glory of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go and make disciples. That's all Bible. That's all Bible. But is that a guarantee that our church, us together collectively, will be joyful and will be blessed? If each person genuinely buys into it, then perhaps. If each of us makes it our own, then it's highly likely. And in that kind of vein of personalizing it and spreading the vision in amongst the church, leadership experts would say to me, the main preacher of this church, that I should be constantly bringing up the vision so that you will buy into it. I'm to convince you that this is a great vision to pursue. Which in our case would mean, because our vision comes from the Bible, I would need to convince you to follow the Bible. I am to bring up God's word over and over and over again so that somehow, at some point, it will become part of your thinking and you would live out the vision. So it's kind of like, take the Bible, bang, you bang, bang, bang on the head. Well, what are you thinking now? I'm thinking the Bible. Oh, good, finally. There we go. Did my job. But I cannot convince you to follow God's revelation, the Bible. I can't. I can't open your eyes to the truth of God's word. The Holy Spirit does that. Therefore, I cannot convince you to follow Calvary Baptist Church's vision statement. I can't. I thought I could at one point that if I just talk about it enough and have these conversations on the side, I'm so good at that, I'm going to convince you, right? But if you personally, as an individual, don't adopt Scripture into your life, don't adopt the vision statement into your life, our vision statement will just become this nice slogan that we have. Oh, what's that church about? Worship community outreach. Worship community outreach. What needs to happen is our vision statement needs to be personalized. It's not a vision statement that is just meant for that organization called Calvary Baptist Church. It's for each and every one of us individually. It's a personal vision statement. It's from the Bible. So it's a personal vision statement, and then it becomes our church vision statement. It's Scripture. It's Scripture. Hear first God's word here, then God's word here collectively, us together. You know, we are all looking to fulfill our destiny, to find that special purpose for our lives. To reach our potential. Reach your potential. Be all you can be. Do what only you can do because you're that special. You know, we get that pounded into our heads by the world and by self-help books and self-help shows and in schools, our kids are like, you're special. You're all such superstars and you got to find what only you can do because only you can do it in our world. You're that special. So we're all, it's pathetic. You want to know your purpose and your destiny? Here it is. Here it is. And it's the same for all of us. How special is that, right? It's the same for all of us. Worship, community, outreach. Personally, and then as a church family. But if it is not made personal, it won't become church-wide. When it's personal, it's a part of you. And when it's a part of you, and you are one of us, it's going to spread amongst us. So then a good question to ask is, are you following God's revelation as stated in the form of our vision statement? Number one, are you joyfully worshiping God with your whole life? Listen to these passages. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. We exist for Him. We exist for Him. So, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Do all for the glory of God. Do it all for His glory. Romans 11, verse 36. Everything is intended for His glory. Colossians 1, verse 16. Everything has been created through Him and for Him. For Him. You know, does any of this make a personal difference to you? Does it make you rethink how you are living? Okay, I just get up in the morning, I go to work or I go to school and I go through my day, I just try to make it through the day, I get home, have supper together, do some stuff in the evening, maybe play a little bit of video games, watch some Netflix, go to bed, do the same thing over and over and over again until the weekend. Oh, I'm looking forward to the weekend. You know, does this make you rethink any of that, that you exist for Him? Does it get you curious or excited that you personally are created for God? That you are significant because you were created for God's purpose in this world and for eternity? That's significance. Doing all for God's glory is our purpose. It's the reason we exist. And in doing all for His glory, we're actually in relationship with Him and we are enjoying Him. And what this includes, it includes things like studying Scripture to know the Lord better. Serving people here, serving people in the community, with worshiping God, with our lives, and it all being about relationship with God based on the Bible, it includes asking those really hard questions and coming up with an answer to those questions, like, how do I glorify God in my marriage? How do I glorify God there? How do I glorify God in my singleness? How do I do that? How do I glorify God in my family? In my work? Here at church? With my time? With money? With my car? My home? With my body? How can I display God's greatness through all those things? How can I function so that my living is a gift to God, is pleasing to Him? Really living, really being alive, is found in doing what I was made to do, being all about my Heavenly Father. And so that requires some thinking it through. So, glorifying God with your time. What can that look like? Well, you're at a grocery store. You see a mom with 4 kids under 8 years old. And she is having a hard time managing her way through the checkout. It's just not working. One is crying. There's a baby there. And then she's got to push it forward and get her stuff. And blah, blah, blah. Everyone is watching. Because what do we do? We're an entertainment culture, right? Look at that mom with 4 kids under 8. Well, what was she thinking, having 4 kids under 8 years old? What's that? Why doesn't she get a babysitter and then go? We have all these answers, eh? But we watch because it's entertaining and we're entertainment junkies. And we're wondering, how is she going to make this? How is she going to do it? But if you want to glorify God with your time, you're going to stop your watching and entertainment. You're going to stop your wondering. You're going to stop your rushing around. I got to get to this checkout. I got to get over there. Why is she taking so long? You're going to stop and you're going to focus on her and be super kind to her and walk her out to her car and load the groceries into her car. You get what I'm saying? Glorifying God with your time. You personalize it and then you watch. How can I glorify God with my time? Even in a silly checkout line in Superstore. Worshiping God with your life. If you are seeking to glorify God with your life, you're going to bring that love and that that approach into our church family. And you will influence us and help us be about the Lord. You will influence us to serve our church family, to serve our community, to help each other live to please the Lord, to enjoy the Lord, being astounded by who He is and just wanting to serve Him, wanting to please Him, because He is just so marvelous. That's going to spill out if you personalize it. Now, I see one of our ladies, Melissa Atkinson. I see her doing this. I do. I'm not even going to look at her because she's going to be squirming and probably giving me the googly eyes saying, stop talking about me. But anyway, she is getting to know God from the Bible. She's getting to know God. She is examining the scriptures and she is examining herself, asking questions on how to live for God. How do I live for Him? Even though my life is messy, how can I steer it so that I'm aiming to live for the Lord? That's what she's doing. And if you spend time with her, that catches on because you are challenged to, hey, whoa, she's really into God's Word. I'm barely into God's Word, and I've been a Christian longer than her. What is going on here? What am I missing that she's catching? Personalize this with everything in your life. You were created to show the greatness of God through your words and your actions and being. You were not created so you could stand up in front of everybody or stand out from everybody or be this awesome individual, unlike anybody else. I'm so special. That's the world's message, and that's a false message. You were created to enjoy the Lord and bring glory to Him. Joyfully worship God with your whole life. What about community? Number two, are you growing genuine, loving relationships with your Christian brothers and sisters in the way God's Word calls us to? I'm always amazed, like at the end of some of the Apostle Paul's letters, like Romans chapter 16, Paul mentions a whole bunch of people, just a whole bunch of them. Some were serving with him, and others he was just sending greetings to. And you just get the sense that he really loved people. He built these great friendships with them, and served and ministered with them. He doesn't seem to be the kind of guy that would just slip into church unnoticed and then slip out of church quickly so that he's not noticed. He's not that kind of guy. And that is a God-honoring way to live as a Christian, making efforts to get to know people and start caring for them, start living out all those verses, those one another verses. Do this to one another. Carry one another's burdens. Love one another. Genuinely love one another. That's what this is about. There's a guy in our church. His name is Peter. He's in our church family. He wanted to get to know more of the men in our church. And some of the regular program type things that we have just didn't fit his schedule. Didn't work out. So what Peter did was, every few months, he would invite some guys out for a wing night. There they would eat chicken wings and talk, getting to know each other. He didn't wait for a church program to get going. This biblical truth about community is a part of him. And he brought that into the church family with him. And is creating and influencing caring, biblical friendships. Joan Cochran, a lot of you know Joan Cochran. She just told me this week that she highly values all those Christian women she's had in her life. She said she's had so many awesome, beautiful women in her life, and she values and treasures them. They're so important to them, to her, how they loved her. Joan and all her Christian friends had hearts that embraced this truth, and they brought this truth into the church family. Genuine, loving relationships with Christian brothers and sisters. Are you personalizing this biblical truth? Or is it a program thing and you're just waiting for a program to happen? What is it like for you? And what about outreach? Number three, are you participating in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, this is something that I have suspected for a while. Just hear me out. We work at an event. We will serve at an event like the Fall Fair that we had last weekend, or one of the women's outreach dinners that we have two times a year, something like that. So we serve at one of those events, and we believe that we are doing outreach, okay? I'm reaching out to the lost. Edgar's reaching out to the lost because I'm washing dishes at those dinners. Yet, I never personally reach out or speak the gospel to lost people that are currently in my life. Now, I'm not putting down working at those events or saying we should not have those events. That's not what I'm saying. For some of us, we are not personalizing Jesus' call to go and make disciples, to go and spread the gospel message. We're not personalizing that. We're basically sidestepping that call by just doing dishes and saying, I do outreach all the time. You know what I mean? It's the not getting around to actually, this is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We're all sinners. We needed saving. We were hellbound. We were going to get the wrath of God. Only Jesus came, saved us from the wrath of God, cleansed us from our sins, declared us justified, covered us with his righteousness because he was sin-free, and now his blood has covered us, and before the Lord, we are found in Christ sin-free. We never get to that. Wash dishes. Bernice Ramble. You know Bernice Ramble. She has personalized this outreach. She has taken the Bible's call to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ as a message that was given to her specifically. And so she started a prison ministry in Belize and is loving the unloved and is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. She's doing it. She's not waiting for a program to start. She just went for it because she personalized Scripture. And when she comes back into our church, guess what? She shakes us up. She influences us about reaching out to lost people. She makes some of us uncomfortable because she's doing what we're all called to do. Bernice Ramble, reaching out in a prison in Belize for the glory of God. Church, we have a vision. And it's good. And it comes from Scripture, from the Bible. And it's the best vision statements that you can have is from Scripture. But not personalizing it makes God's revelation just words on a bulletin that gets thrown into the recycling bin at the end of the day. Church, we have been set free from slavery to sin by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so we could personally worship God with our whole lives. So do it. Do it. The Holy Spirit is empowering you to do it. There's no other way to live. Everything else fails and is a poor comparison to living for the glory of the Lord. Everything. Let your excitement about the Lord spill out onto those around you and just spill out. Get to know who He is. Keep getting to know who He is and spend your life on Him, worshiping Him, glorifying Him, and then encouraging us to worship Him as well. Start with you here. Church, personally, build biblical relationships with brothers and sisters. Just go for it. Just start. How do you start a friendship? Hey, Edgar, how you doing? Good. My name is Joe. Oh, yeah, Joe. Where are you from, Edgar? We can do this. We can start conversations. It all starts that way. Take an interest in other people. Here's a simple point in helping build biblical relationships with each other in church. Stop talking about yourself. Hey, how are you doing? Oh, tell me about that. Oh, explain that to me a little bit more. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Tell me more about that. That's awesome. What did that feel like? Wow. What else? Be interested in each other. Personalize all those passages that are directed at the relationships of God's children, and just do it. Just do it. That will influence us to do the same together as Calvary Baptist Church family. And church, personally love the lost people in your neighborhood or the circle you are connected to. Biblically know the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. I know that this is hard. We get to that awkward point where you all of a sudden you see a setup, right? You see a setup and you're like, oh, this is a good time to bring up the gospel. And then there's that conflict going on, right? Am I going to do it now? Oh, it's going to sound silly. I don't know if I'm going to do it. You kind of let it pass and then you go, oh, maybe it was just wasn't God's timing. Wow, it was God's timing, but you didn't do it. Know the gospel message. Know the gospel message. Be able to speak it. Tell people about Jesus. And then wake us up with the awesomeness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how there is a world all around us waiting for us to bring Jesus into everything. The world is looking for fulfillment. It's found only in Jesus, but they are dabbling into every single thing other than Jesus. And we know that they're looking for Jesus. Tell them the gospel of Jesus. Tell them the gospel of Jesus. Don't tell them about your life story and your testimony. Tell them about Jesus. Personalize this. Worship, community, outreach. Do all for the glory of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go and make disciples. What a way to live. Let's pray and celebrate communion together. Father, this is a great call from you.